On this episode, we discuss the movie that made Selena Gomez an action star, Getaway. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Flophouse. I'm Dan McCoy.
So that was Dan McCoy, and I'm Stuart Wellington.
I'm Elliot Kalin, and I'd reintroduce those guys, but they just said their names.
And I'm Stuart Wellington, and this is
Dan McCoy.
And I'm Elliot Kalin, and over there is
The Stuart Wellington.
The Stuart Wellington House.
Stuart Wellington House. In the Stuart Wellington House, we watch a bad movie.
It's a sitcom about Stuart Wellington raising three foster children.
He's pretending that he's a gay man living with two hot babes.
That's the only way I can get extra money from the government to pay for my pit bull collection.
Wait, your collection of pit bull CDs?
Rare pit bull CDs.
Rare pit bull singles and B-sides.
Recorded at concerts across the U.S. of A.
Right off the mixing board.
So
the end.
Normal. The end.
Okay, see you later.
That bit's done.
So this is a podcast on the Flophouse. Next one. Flophouse.
Here's the thing.
Rated R.
Normally.
Podcast.
Is playing at.
Here, in your ears.
Flophouse.
So.
The end.
This normally would be the most wonderful time of the year. We would be celebrating Cagemas.
Now, yeah, it's December. Christmas is right around the corner, and Cagemas is, of course, all month long.
Mm-hmm.
But, Dan, for some reason, you were very adamant about not celebrating Cagemas.
No. Here's the thing. There's a war on Cagemas, guys.
Oh, my God. Who would we wage such a thing? It's the jolliest time of the year with the best hair.
Yeah.
And by best, I mean worse.
I would be commenting on this, but I'm too busy gnashing my teeth together.
Yeah. Now, Dan, Cagemas is a time of year for all men of good faith and women to come together in peace and have terrible accents and stupid wigs.
Yeah. Celebrate the works of St. Nicholas Cage.
Who's best known for the miracle of still having a career.
Here's the thing, though. The war on Cagemas, the liberal media has failed us by not releasing another Nicolas Cage movie that's good for the Flophouse.
Surely there must be one.
There's too many sheeple out there.
I looked over the IMDb page for Nicolas Cage, and we've literally done like the last 10 Nicolas Cage movies. And the next one is Frozen Ground.
The Disney movie. It's supposed to be good.
No, Frozen Ground.
It's definitely not.
Nicolas Cage is like a goofy snowman.
Mm-hmm. It's with John Cusack, Frozen Ground. It seems like it should be great. Two Flophouse faves.
Yeah.
But word
like
on Paperboy the street.
Paperboy meets, I don't know, a Nicolas Cage movie.
Mm-hmm. Word on the street, though, is that it's boring.
That's the kiss of Flophouse, Dan.
Our arch nemesis, Count Boredom.
Instead of
the evil Eastern European Count who's really boring.
Okay, listeners, this is called a Flophouse Aside. This is where I take you aside and explain that the Flophouse hates boring movies.
This is where Stuart takes you aside and makes love to your ears.
Hey there, I have a cold, so my voice sounds awesome. We hate boring movies, and that's why we didn't watch On Frozen Ground.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, so we watched a really exciting movie tonight.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. Instead of Merry Cagemas, we say Hockey Holidays to you. Hockey Holidays because we watched Ethan Hawke.
Because we watched Hudson Hawke. Did we watch Lady Hawke?
Yeah. We watched Ethan Hawke's car movie.
Howard the Hawk?
The Getaway. Or just Getaway, actually.
It's just called Getaway. This
just
movie
called,
not
The Getaway.
Was originally reported to be a remake of The Getaway, which had already been a remake of another movie called The Getaway. But no, it's just called Getaway, as in get away from this movie. You will not enjoy it. But it's not related to The Getaway at all. It's just Getaway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like an updating like the way the Fast and the Furious sequel was called Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Or the way that the Godfather sequel was called Godfather. Or strangely enough, Jurassic Park sequel was called Jurassic the Park.
Yeah, that's weird. That doesn't make any sense.
And the sequel to Attack the Block was Attack Block.
Well, that was extraneous.
And then the sequel to Ladies and Gentlemen, The Fabulous Stains was Lady and Gentlemen's Fabulous Stains. People hate the word the these days. Used to be necessary for every title. Now they don't want it. Howard the Duck sequel, Howard Duck.
Yeah. The popular band The is now known as
Yep, that's what they're called now.
Yep.
I wish you could see that Dan just froze with his mouth open for a couple seconds. Yeah.
Better for a visual medium. But anyway.
Yeah. So I feel this is actually kind of in the spirit of Cagemas, because Ethan Hawke is channeling his inner Cage.
He is very much so.
By traveling to Eastern Europe for
an adventure.
He is
a very good actor who is going to Eastern Europe.
He is Bangkok Dangerous in this role.
No, that's not Eastern Europe. Not at all. He is
Bulgaria Dangerous.
Just like Nicolas Cage in Eastern Europe, he is Port of Call New Orleans. just like Nicolas Cage, yes, he is doing an action-adventure movie in Eastern Europe, for probably most of the budget going to him personally, and is a very good actor wasting his talents on this.
And seems like an outlet for him to relive his like classic car fetishism.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I understand. Like, if I was a Hollywood actor, a guy.
Okay. Now, what's your Hollywood name? Like, Johnny Starr?
Mm-hmm.
Chance Blasto?
Yeah, if I was Hollywood actor Chance Blasto, and you know, like I was maybe a bit of a heartthrob in my youth.
What about?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bicep Meat Slam. His name is Bicep.
So he's an action star.
I like Chance Blasto.
Okay, Chance Blasto.
But if I
the sci-fi porn star.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I'm entering my middle age. You know, I'm getting gaunt.
You either get gaunt or puffy when you're a middle-aged actor.
Yeah,
sure.
Ethan Hawke is going gaunt.
Jeans don't quite fit the same as they used to.
No.
But
I pillow out around the hips.
You're wearing Dockers of a different size.
And maybe I was a more serious actor, a more quirky actor in my youth. But now that I'm reaching middle age, now I want to recapture some of that like youthful vigor, and I want to do like a big action movie, and I understand.
Well,
slap a leather jacket on, Chance.
Yeah, put a
put a leather jacket and a baseball cap on, and ride around
and
in a car.
Blasto through Bulgaria,
in Sofia, Bulgaria, the only city that so sharp tongued that it deserved to bear the name of the best golden girl.
Have to grow a little beard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's had a little beard for a long time.
Yeah,
I know. That's a great little
Since
beard.
Now, if I may have an aside, it's time for another episode of Elliot's Theater-Going Adventures.
Okay.
Let me just say, I've seen Ethan Hawke in a number of plays now.
I don't like this reoccurring theme.
He's a really great actor. Like, even in plays that are not very good that I've seen him in, he's really good. And I've seen plays he's directed. Like, he's a really good theater director. And so it's one of those things where it's like, he must be trying so hard not to be good in this movie because he's so non-existent and barely there. But it helps that he has very little dialogue in the movie other than like, "Where's my wife?" Ooh! Mm. And most of it is just him driving a car and smashing into
most
things.
Most of it is...
Oh, yeah. Smash, and Selena Gomez going,
yeah.
Watch out! My car! Selena Gomez Adams, that is.
It's almost like Michael Winslow from the Police Academy movie showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan, do you have us some more sound effects?
Yeah, do a
beep,
helicopter.
Beep, honk.
That's not very good.
How about that?
Okay,
record
no.
Record scratch. Chainmail.
Horse sound.
crackle, fire.
Explosion.
So, this is the point where you usually give some sort of synopsis.
Yeah,
of
this
what
is
we
a.
Saw.
I'll try to do it quick. I know I always say I'll try to do it quick, and that turns into a 35-minute rant.
But this movie was a bunch of scenes.
This movie is
intercut with car chases.
This movie is just a car chase.
It's like 85% car chase, and that sounds great. Like if you said to me, "There's an action movie. It's a lean, small, low budget movie with a star in Bulgaria that's 85% car chase," I'd be like, "That sounds great. Like, it could be great," but it's not. It's really terrible. And the reason for this is a lot of it is in the direction and camera work, which means most of the movie is shot by digital video cameras that have just been kind of randomly placed around every object in a scene.
Yeah,
and
it looks like Taxicab Confessions, the action film.
Yeah, and they cut between them ridiculously. It's like if Cash Cab was like an
Full
action
contact,
movie.
Contact, Taxicab Confessions. Yeah, I like it.
But we'll talk about it.
Or a 13-year-old version of me would have liked it up until a point, and then I realized I was not going to get anything really good out of it.
So we're in Sofia, Bulgaria, where Ethan Hawke is playing the awesomely named former race car driver Brent Magna.
Sounds like magma, so he'd be a lava man, right?
He either has lava powers or magnetic powers, or both. Magnetic lava.
He's a double threat, I think is what that's called.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a montage at the beginning that uses both the present and the past cut together to show that his wife was kidnapped while you know, getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah, you know it's the past because they use black and white.
Yeah, because she was kidnapped 50 years ago. He gets a phone call from a man only called The Voice, played by John Voight.
And the voice, CeeLo Green.
And The Voice is a competition show in which John Voight sits in a chair and tells you to smash your car into random nonsense.
Yep.
And if he likes it, he turns around in the chair and I guess gets eaten by an anaconda and then thrown up.
Sure.
Yeah, and get winks at the audience.
And then he throws a baby genius at you. I don't know.
Yeah, he smashes his bust at the fucking Bratz High School.
So John Voight tells him, You're gonna find this car in a parking garage, and it's a Shelby car with a Cobra insignia on it, and you're gonna drive it around and do everything I tell you, or else I'm gonna kill your wife. And what he basically wants him to do, for the most part, is drive around smashing into things, mainly ramming through Christmas villages. Listen, let me just say this: Sophia does Christmas up right. There's Christmas all over the fucking town. Everything is Christmas. They might as well call it Christmas City, which is the name of the city in Last Ounce of Courage for the last episode. But this was the real Christmas City. It seems every tree is a Christmas tree. Every person's an elf. Every box is a wrapped gift. Every house is a Christmas house. Santa's just walking around doing his business. There's tons of them everywhere. It's a Santa explosion.
Every John Voight is a Grinch. Every Bulgarian is a Whoville.
I wish they had gone as far as saying adapted from The Grinch Who Stole Christmas by Dr. Seuss. But no, it's not.
I also want to say that this is another like 12 round situation where eventually we don't want to spoil it too fast, but eventually we'll get to what the voice's actual plan is. But before that, he puts him through so many hoops where it's just like, wow, you are making it very hard on your own plan. Like the guy could die before this. Yeah. He could get arrested.
Every hoop is go drive through a thing or get in a car chase with the police.
Hey, it smash into that truck carrying a bunch of water bottles.
Yeah, never did I. Well, he's literally saying, like, ram into that, drive over that thing, go down those stairs.
It feels like a Grand Theft Auto mission. It doesn't even feel like a mission.
It feels like when I would get bored of Grand Theft Auto and just drive around running over people and be like, okay, now I'm going to steal a fire truck and just run around and see when the police catch me. Without the visceral
thrill of running into that fire truck and watching it explode.
Yeah. I have to say, I never thought I'd be watching a movie and say, I miss the clockwork plotting and sharply drawn characters of 12 rounds. A movie which is mainly John Santa destroying the parts of New Orleans that Katrina didn't get to.
Yeah.
But like, it's like 12 rounds looks like a really good movie next to this. Like, the rounds are different competitions. You've got Carchetti as the villain, and he's like doing funny stuff sometimes. John Santa says things, unlike Ethan Hawke, who just kind of mumbles stuff every now and then.
Yeah, and the villain has like a clear motivation, and it isn't just some kind of vague thing.
Well, the thing is, he wants revenge on John Santa, and it turns out he wants to rob a bank. So, like, there's a primary motivation that you know, and there's a secondary motivation that you don't know about. Here, the only motivation you don't really know, you just know that his wife is going to die if he doesn't do the things. Meanwhile, Selena Gomez shows up. She's known only as the kid, according to Wikipedia. And she's like,
does she look like one, as Elliot pointed out.
I've never really seen stuff with Selena Gomez in it, and you just see, like, links on Huffington Post that are like, Selena Gomez bikini pics. And watching this, she looks like she's like 12 and a half. Like, so, she's got like a baby face. It's really creepy.
She's like a chipmunk face. She's got a little baby fat, puffy cheeks.
Yeah, you know. Make her feel bad.
I'm not. No, I mean, I know that.
Take that, Selena Gomez. You do not have a shot with Dan McCoy.
I know that.
Dan McCoy is out of your league, Selena Gomez. I know that. Go back to Justin Bieber.
Because Dan
McCoy is saying you are an uggo. He only goes for tens, and you're a two.
Wow, a two.
Dan said it, not
bottom
me.
Bottom of the barrel.
I'm quoting Dan McCoy. Well, one would be bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
or I guess a zero, which would be what, like a man?
Yeah.
I mean, that seems homophobic.
There's
certain men out there that, you know, like, yeah, sure.
Well, like who, Dan? Like Stewart?
I'd say that, you know, like Harrison Ford in his prime.
Not anymore.
That's at least a six, even for a heterosexual.
So what, like a Paul? Yeah, because like Paul Newman is like a 10.
Oh man,
that
is a handsome.
Even when
man.
He was old and all gravelly voice.
Yeah, and you have financial security with him, so sure. It's cool.
It's true because of his popcorn and salad dressing empire.
A Michael Fassbender, that's a handsome guy.
He's very handsome. Yeah,
and
yeah.
You checked him out in Shame. You know he's got the goods.
You know that he's packing heat, and by heat I mean a big penis. That's what the movie The Heat was about, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And that movie Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro?
Yep, it's a license to thrill with his penis.
if looks could thrill. Anyway, so
they can in the case of The Heat. So starring Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
It's not The Heat. So Selena Gomez is the owner of the car, and she tries to carjack it from Ethan Hawke, but fails. And Ethan Hawke is told by the voice, now she has to stay with you because she can't mess up our plan. And Selena Gomez is a car expert and a computer whiz, and so she's
not a carjacking expert.
Not a carjacking expert, no. And she's using her cell phone and her iPad to eventually help Ethan Hawke turn the tables on John Voight. Let's just cut it short.
She's one of those, like, you know, she's one of those hot teenage women gearhead hackers that we've been hearing so much about.
Yeah,
days.
Well, you know, like your Megan Foxes in the Transformers mm-hmm. movies, or
your Angelina Jolie in the movie Hackers.
Yeah, your girls yeah, with the dragons tattoos.
Yeah, your Gem in the Holograms? Was she a hacker?
Yeah,
probably,
right?
Well, that's how she glows.
Your
right?
neuromanstresses.
Sure.
Your Mona Lisa overdrives, you know, those things.
Yeah.
Your Mona Lisa smiles.
You know, what? Mona Lisa smile has no computers in it. It's set like 1857 or something. Anyway, so it turns out that Selena Gomez is the daughter of Sofia Bulgaria's largest bank. And,
oh, I love her on Modern Family.
And they're going to upload, they go, the John Voight tells them to go to an electricity transformer and...
It explodes.
But they're framed for it, I guess.
It blows up real good.
And then it turns out that they want to, that John Voight wants to steal something at the bank. The assets are in a computer. And because of the electricity shutdown, the computer is being moved via a truck to a safer location. Yeah. So that's when they're moving it in the truck, his motorcycled henchmen, who it seems could have done all this without Ethan Hawke, show up and steal the computer. But Ethan Hawke and Selena Gomez...
Before they do that, they show up, fire a bunch of machine guns one-handed on their, motorbikes?
Yeah,
or
motorcycles.
Excite bikes?
Or motorcycles.
But it's one of your classic diehard scenarios where the what appears to be what's going on... is actually just a distraction.
It's all misdirection.
Yeah, it's like the prestige.
For the big heist that's happening.
Yeah,
they slap some bombs on the armored car that look like the game Simon, the memory game.
Yeah.
They explode.
They explode.
The game doesn't explode.
The game Simon only explodes if you lose 35 times in a row.
Parker Brothers recalled all the Simons that exploded.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Social Darwinism is what it's called.
It's called. I mean, if you waste your time with Simon, then you're not contributing a lot. Ooh, Simon Burn. I mean, I spent plenty of time playing it when I was
Fuck
kid.
Fuck you, game from back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Black and white times.
Yeah,
so.
Old times. Anyway, so, but it turns out Selena Gomez and Nicolas Cage have turned the tables on John
Voight.
Did
you say Nicolas Cage or Ethan Hawke?
I did say Nicolas Cage because I wanted to be Nicolas Cage so badly. Because I love Cage Miss so much. It's my favorite time of the year.
So Ethan Hawke's going to be Nicolas Cage for the rest of this.
Yeah.
Yes, I might call him Nicolas Cage. You know it's Ethan Hawke. I wanted to be Nicolas Cage.
One of them's
badly.
A date breaker. One of them is a date
did you say
maker.
A date breaker?
Yeah.
He's in Daybreakers.
Yeah, Date Breakers.
Date
the
Breakers.
Movie where he breaks up dates.
Where Ethan Hawke makes plans and
it's
then
like
breaks
annoyed,
them at last minute.
Dates.
Don't make plans with Ethan Hawke. He ruins appointments.
Do you think Nicolas Cage would be more or less creepy co-starring with Selena Gomez?
Oh, certainly. I know, less, because he's co-starred with kids and young women before.
Yeah.
Whereas Ethan Hawke hasn't established himself that way yet, I feel like. So he seems at any moment like he might suddenly start hitting on Selena Gomez.
What, After Midnight was the movie he's in?
Before Midnight.
But what happens after midnight?
He has sex with Julie Delpy, I guess.
That makes sense.
After they have their topless argument. Spoiler alert. If you want to see Julie Delpy topless and a pretty realistic portrayal of what a married couple's argument looks like before midnight.
Or don't look now.
Yeah, or don't. You don't see Julie Delpy. You'll see Julie Christie topless in that.
It's a Julie.
And also Donald Sutherland, totally starkers.
And a murderous dwarf.
Spoiler
and
alert.
And murderous dwarf Tin Conway as Dorf. What if it turned out at the end to look out that it was Dorf?
Dorf on murder.
I told you to learn golfing. That'd be so great if Tim Conway just waddles away.
It's Tim
Dorf,
Conway.
No, Dorf
Tim
look now.
Conway standing in a trench slashing Donald Sutherland's
As Harvey Korman just watches laughing, just cracking up. Dorf look now. Certainly one of Nicholas Roeg's most underrated films. Starring Tim Conway as the murderous Dorf. And Kiefer Sutherland as Donald Sutherland.
Now?
Yeah, it's his story. Dude, honestly, he was the star. The dwarf is the star of the original. There's no movie without the dwarf. Without him, it's just a scene of Donald Sutherland having sex with his wife and then brushing his teeth nude. And beautiful shots of Venice. That dwarf makes it a movie. And that dwarf's name is Dwarf.
So I guess that just like, I don't understand the Academy's organization, how they would organize a best actor versus supporting actor.
Well,
but clearly Dwarf wins best actor in perpetuity.
Yeah, his thing is, usually it's about screen time for the most part, but when the pivotal role is at pivotal, you know.
Sure.
For the 3 seconds of screen time, he really would win best actor, yeah. Tim Conway's, but he would win it as Dwarf. That's the thing. It wouldn't say best actor Tim Conway. It would say best actor Dwarf.
Oh, that's going to be tough though. Yes, I live in that.
Yeah, he also won best live action short subject for Dwarf on Fishing and best documentary for The Making of Dwarf on Fishing. Now, I know what you're saying. Dwarf on Fishing is a short subject, but The Making of is a full length documentary? Yes, exactly. It was 3 hours long and it was released to theaters.
Yeah.
Some people say that, much like Heart of Darkness, it really is as good as the movie that it's about. Anyways,
Hearts of Darkness, right?
Hearts of Darkness, yeah, sorry. Heart of Darkness is the original story.
I was getting that out of the way before somebody emails us complaining. Oh,
which they will. I'll never hear the end of how I got Gizmo Duck's code word wrong. Because
a thing
I literally haven't heard in, let's say, 25 years.
Well, we're expecting your resignation to both your job, your wife, and the Flophouse.
Come on, I just got a new job and a new Flophouse.
You resigned to your wife. I'm sorry, honey. Here's my letter of resignation.
My letter of resignation. I got something wrong about Gizmo Duck. You did the right thing, honey. I'm unhappy that it ended this way, but we can't stay married. So anyway, but it turns out Ethan Hawke – I was about to say Nicolas Cage again. Ethan Hawke and Selena Gomez have tricked John Voight using the old speed trick. See, here's the thing. John Voight has all these cameras mounted in the car so he can watch them from every angle at all times.
Hey, so we, the audience, can watch shitty like video
car
footage.
Chases shot by DV from the side of the car or at one point a camera behind the gear shift.
Yeah.
So that you're seeing – it's like having an obstructed view seat at the giant Ethan Hawke show.
Yeah, you want to pay – how much does a movie cost nowadays?
Like $75.
Yeah. Okay, so you go to spend spend that much money on a movie. Movie on a money. Who cares?
You spend that much movie. You have to pay. Movies are so expensive now that you have to pay with a movie you
now,
made.
Now, would you want to watch a movie that's all shot on somebody's fucking cell phone? I don't think
Not
so.
Not at all. Unless it was
just
called,
basically did.
Unless it was called Selfies Shot by Famous Hollywood Actresses with No Clothes On, the movie.
No, but that's the thing. Like, apparently America...
It's a feature-length film?
Apparently
it's
America...
It's a documentary. Best documentary. Okay. It actually lost to The Making of Dwarf on Fishing, but it was very close. It won the Golden Globe.
Mm-hmm. It was Arts like, what, 7-6? What's the voting like?
7-6. The 13-member Council of Oscar Elders.
Sure.
The Galactic Jedi Council that votes on Oscar movies.
Oddly enough, the 13th chair is kept vacant for one of, I guess, an old one?
For
or?
The chosen one,
yeah, okay.
when he was finally born.
No, you keep looking to me as if I...
You were going
to
say something.
No, I know, but it doesn't seem important now. I was just like,
okay.
America's insatiable desire, apparently, for movies that look like their home videos.
Yeah, well, like, it's cheap to
they
make.
They
want to
feel
I mean,
like they could make a movie. Mm-hmm.
Frankly, it's cheaper to make.
Yeah,
and,
movies, they're just like us.
And Dan, yes. I hate to break it to you, a lot of Americans cannot tell the difference between video and film. In the same way that, like, my wife cannot tell the difference when our TV is on the right or wrong aspect ratio, even though everyone looks like squat toad men.
Yeah.
It's how like, George Lucas doesn't think CGI looks fake.
Exactly.
Or Sylvester Stallone thinks CGI bullet hits is just as good as actual.
There's a lot of people whose eyes are not don't have the sophisticated eye palettes that ours have.
Whereas I see 2 seconds of a TV that is set to motion smoothing
and
my brain explodes.
Yeah.
Like, how can you watch this?
But here's
luckily, your brain comes back together and we can make a podcast.
You know how in Being John Malkovich there's a scene where the chimps memory, we see it, and it's shot on video, and how brilliant that is, that he literally uses a different format for the memory of an animal. There's a lot of people who didn't pick up on that subtlety. They're just like, okay, yeah, now this is also shot on the same thing, you know?
So this is
to tell the difference between
this
video
has been three superior assholes saying
well,
fuck
tell,
you America.
To tell the difference between video and film, it has to be like a Fawlty Towers episode where it's video and then it goes to like 16mm on the outside.
Oh, I'm going outside. The outside world is shot in film for some
and
reason.
I remember as a kid not knowing that those were the reason for that, but being like, why does the outside look different in England?
It's almost like the difference between tasting knowing the difference between a delicious American microbrew beer and then a glass of Hobo Diarrhea.
Oh, the Hobo Diaries, the hit show?
That's the thing. They can't tell the difference.
Okay, so
luckily we can with our eyeballs.
So the bad guys are stealing the computer with the bank money on it, but what they didn't know is that Ethan Hawke and Selena Gomez, again, I was almost in Nicolas Cage, Ethan Hawke and Selena Gomez have pulled the old speed trick and looped some tape of them in the car. So that
the old speed trick is not the one where you slam on the brakes and grab the girl's boobs, right?
No.
I think he does that at one point, though, right?
I don't think so.
I'm going to imagine he
did. In this movie or in Speed?
Wait, this isn't called Speed?
No.
The speed trick is when you're driving a bus and you're eating popcorn. You put the popcorn over your penis.
Yeah. It makes it so much harder because the bus is jostling.
Yeah.
And you're worried it might jostle your penis through the popcorn.
Yeah.
And
but then that's what's
once
sexy
it's out in the
it.
Open, you know.
Yeah, because when you jostle a thing of popcorn, is the, penis is full.
The feeling of hot popcorn jumping up and down on your penis. Because, of course, that's a pleasurable sensation. Everybody loves that. You know what?
Why like a hot popcorn massage.
Why don't you try it at home? Just take some burning cinders out of the fire and just going to sprinkle them on your penis.
Yep, because you're in like a fucking meat hall.
Okay.
Go to the hearth.
Stop drinking grog for a moment. Put down that bar wench. Go to where the huge boar is roasting on a spit and take out some cinders from the fire. Lift up your kilt.
Yep, you're listening to us, the scalds, sitting around the hearth fire.
And you'll be scalded if you do that to your penis. Anyway, so he pulled the old speed trick of looping, from the movie Speed, looping the video so it looks like they're just driving around. Selena Gomez and Ethan Hawke show up, they steal the money computer, and then there's like another car chase showdown, and eventually the good guys win, except it turns out...
instead of editing techniques, they just throw in car chases,
yeah,
right?
And they're going to meet up to hand off the bank stuff to John Voight in exchange for Ethan Hawke's wife.
The bank stuff's the money computer.
The police show up. It seems like John Voight has driven away with Selena Gomez kidnapped. Ethan Hawke chases him for a long time.
That is a great scene, though. The scene where the cops lock down the bad guys, and Ethan Hawke and then Selena Gomez is whisked away by evil baddies. And Ethan Hawke just wanders over to his awesome car and drives away.
The
cops are like, I'll allow it.
Yeah.
We've been chasing you
terrorizing
all night.
The whole town.
No, terrorizing the country. Yeah. Different cities. He just show up and strike. Yeah.
But
it was a nationwide manhunt.
He's driving through Christmas City, smashing up everything that he sees. And
we
he's
built
like, well,
this
well.
City on Christmas.
It's fine.
Yeah, no, he's...
sure he's got a reason.
Yeah, it's almost like in Bulgaria, they have a limit to the number of people they can arrest at any one time. Like, oh, four people, gotta throw one back. You know, this one's not big enough. Wait till next season.
I will say, and I thought you were going here, I thought you were having a rare moment of, you know, genuineness.
I never have those.
Yeah. But like,
I have to cloak everything in irony, lest I show my delicate interior.
The chase at the end of this movie is the closest thing they have to a good chase, because
yes.
A lot of it is done in one single unbroken shot.
Well, it's a point of view shot of Ethan Hawke's car as he's chasing what you think is John Voight's car. It turns out at the end it's just an old man who looks kind of like John Voight. It turns out John Voight the entire time has been speaking via satellite phone from America.
It's the character Pumpkinhead from the series Pumpkinhead.
And the bad guy gets away
and
with
bad
it.
Guy gets it turn, and John Voight's like, thanks for helping me. It's like, wait, but I thought you lost. Whatever. So John Voight wins, and it turns out he was a fan of Ethan Hawke as a race car driver. And Ethan Hawke could have been great, he thought, if only he could get over his fear, I guess. So he feels like he did him a service by making him do all this stuff. But anyway, but there's this last car chase, and there's one unbroken shot from the point of view of Ethan Hawke's car following John Voight's car, or the bad guy's van, and it's the only good shot in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Maybe? Like, it's a little bit of... You get a tiny bit of a less sophisticated, less skillful version of what makes Children of Men so good. Like, when they would do all those scenes in one take, and there was a real visceral sense of something happening.
I mean, like, I also rewatched Death Proof recently.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean... I always feel like an old man, like, railing against the future when I say this, but, like...
But flying cars? Not in my... No way! Robot butlers?
But you know, like,
dogs running on floating treadmills?
The thing is, if you actually do
when
something...
When I was a boy, we had sex with women, not robots.
If you actually
what
do,
I'm saying is, hand me that robot.
If you actually...
Svedka Vodka, sexy robots, please.
What's her number? Where can I find her? Because I like a woman with no hair and exposed metal. I want a robot that has a butt and the rest of it's just robot.
What I'm saying is, if you actually
that's part of the essentials collection.
Do something, If you actually stage a stunt for the camera and like film it at length, and you actually like there's a physical reality to what you're doing.
No, it's better.
It will be much more exciting.
That's why Road Warrior is still an amazing movie, and like I guess the Fast and Furious movies are fun, but they're just not at the same level.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at any of the background around Getaway, they clearly spent a lot of money on cars and car chases.
They
and
smash
like they spent
them up.
So much money. Like apparently they even created a fucking junkyard of cars. And you would like it's almost a disservice to all the stuntmen
yeah.
that worked in this, none of whom got injured, but
it's
there's
cut into like such complete
it's
gibberish.
It's shot and cut so poorly that like, yeah, a lot of probably really good stunts get lost.
It's not to be like hyperbolic, but it's almost like taking
But it's worse than Hitler.
It's like taking great it's like great vocal performances or any performances and just chopping them up, like seeing a great performance of Shakespeare and then overly editing it so you can't tell what's going on.
Yeah.
Like these stuntmen put all that work into it and they basically just shat all over them.
Yeah. I mean,
like
that
they killed their
entire
family.
One of the stunts to be shit on, too. You can do car stunts, great. Motorcycle stunts, great. Will you let someone shit on you?
Yeah.
It's technically a stunt.
I see you're in your special skills section of your resume. It says scat. So.
Now, is that jazz singing or is that poop? Poop? Great. Let's talk.
I thought so. It was all in capitals for some reason.
Now, you're an MC Scat Cat. Does that mean you're into shiza play? No, jazz singing. Never mind. Forget it. I'm calling the wrong cat. Your brother is into it, though. DC Scat Cat.
Whatever you have written under objective is all in windings. Why do you do that? Did I say windings or winding reference?
Because of Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, it's in. You've typed it in Wing-Dixie. Nicholas Winding Refn.
Everything is in Nicholas Winding Refn, so it's all
pregnant
just
pauses and turnarounds.
Guys looking at stuff and then punching someone
shocking
to death.
Violence.
Amazing.
When's he making another movie?
I don't know.
Soon,
another
I hope.
One, please.
But anyway, there's a couple. So this movie is. It's like 85% poorly edited car chases. At the end, the bad guy gets away, which I guess sets it up for a sequel. But
yeah,
I think
please.
My favorite moment in the whole movie is in the beginning. John Voight is calling Ethan Hawke to explain what just happened. And he says, your wife has been taken. And there's like a moment where your wife has been taken. And it's almost like the movie pauses to be like, get it? Remember? Like the movie you liked? The successful movie? We're doing that. Anyway, John Voight uses a voice that is part Dracula and part Bane and part Werner Herzog, but it's you can tell John Voight had a great time because most of the movie is of his shooting was sitting in a bar drinking a martini while doing this crazy voice.
Yeah.
There's one moment.
It's time for you to crash into another thing. Ethan Hawke, ram into that one.
There's a great shot of him eating a martini olive that just reminded me of an even better shot of John Noble eating tomatoes in Return of the King. So
I remember that shot. Yeah, it's all gross.
There's a lot of mouth acting from John Voight.
Yeah, it's all mouth acting.
Yeah. And it's great.
You only see his full face at the end. You see just his chin and his mouth before that. And I wonder, or like his back. And
he hasn't shaved recently, so that looks cool.
And I wonder if it was supposed to be like a surprise. Like, oh, that was John Voight the whole time. That voice that sounded just like John Voight and the chin that looked like John Voight's chin, that was John Voight.
Remember him? He was in Mission Impossible.
Remember? Yeah. That's his big
Remember
credit.
Him?
Yep. Not the movie he won an Academy Award for,
dad.
Coming Home.
Remember him from Anaconda? He's an Anaconda expert.
Yeah.
From Runaway Train? There was
Why did you say Runaway Train so quietly, like you were ashamed of it?
Yeah, did you watch it by yourself?
Did you masturbate to it?
Was it like the time I watched Tomcats by myself and was like looking around to make sure nobody
was
saw
that
me
with
watching
Jerry
it?
O'Connell?
Yeah. And not Jeremy O'Connell, his much more successful non-existent brother.
Wait, what? So this is a movie that barely exists. It's like a demo reel. I was saying to Dan, it felt like I was watching the demo reel for the handling of the Shelby Cobra. You know, it's like it looks like a car demo reel that's poorly made.
It looks like somebody filmed Ethan Hawke going to like stunt driving school.
Yeah, basically. And it seems like Ethan Hawke probably had a great time making it because it was just stunt driving all day. Got paid to do it. Got to spend time in beautiful, cloudy Bulgaria around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And he got to work opposite Selena Gomez, who is an acting powerhouse. Amy Adams, hang up your acting chops.
He's like, can we go back and re-edit the After Midnight, the Before Sunrise movies to put Selena Gomez in instead of Julie Delpy because she's got chops. I'm sorry. I gotta say, I did not walk away thinking Selena Gomez was the future of film acting.
No.
Was she a spring breaker?
She was a spring breaker.
But not a date breaker, because that's Ethan
Is she
Hawke.
Like a high school's musical?
She.
What is she from?
I don't know.
Is she like
from.
A Degrassi or an iCarly?
She was not.
Listeners, write in and tell Elliot what the answer is.
Is she a Wizard of Waverly Place?
She was not one of the high school musicals. The Spring Breaker, who was a high school musical, was Vanessa Hudgens.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
But so what was she? What was Selena Gomez in, besides the Addams Family?
Is she a Rugrat?
Yeah, was she a Doug? Is she a Ren and Stimpy?
I'm glad we covered all three cartoons that came out as the same batch
original,
of cartoons.
The original Nicktoons. She or was what in about the expansion? Movie. Was she a Rocco's Modern Life or an Real Monsters?
She was in the movie Selena, starring J Lo.
Oh, okay. Is she a cat dog?
She was a. What was
is
it?
She in All That?
Yeah, she's in All
is
That.
Is she a Good Burger?
She's a Kenan and Kel.
Is she a Wienerville?
All right.
Is she a Pinwheel or a Today's Special? Nickelodeon shows, come on, think of some
I only
more.
Got to watch Pinwheel when I would stay home from school sick.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sick. I just wanted to stay home and watch Pinwheel.
Yeah, you had Pinwheel fever. That's what you were sick with.
Yeah.
So, what's this movie, Drive Angry?
Yeah.
Getaway.
Get to the,
this is a really forgettable generic movie.
This is a good bad movie, a bad movie, or a movie you kind of like, Stuart?
I'm going to say a bad movie. I think it could have been a good bad movie, but they spent so little time on the actual dialogue sequences and just the reliance on the shitty video cameras that are taped to the outside of the car.
I'm gonna agree with Stuart here. This had the potential to be a good bad movie, but the car chases were just too monotonous and not well done. And it was like 15, 20 minutes of plot expanded to an hour and a half. It's a bad movie.
No, I agree. It's a bad movie.
Maybe if Nicolas Cage had been in it.
If Nicolas Cage had been in it, it would have elevated it.
And he had brought
definitely.
One of his wacky performances as opposed to sedate performances.
Instead of Bangkok Dangerous, if he had if he had Bad Lieutenant all over the place, yeah. Oh, I would have loved it. If he was like, eyes bugging out, waving his hands around, punching Selena Gomez for no reason. Hey, Dan and Stuart, I'm not wearing a shirt. Do you have a good idea for how I can solve that problem?
What happened to your old shirt?
I don't know. Maybe a fire or a bear attack. Let's stick with the problem. I am shirtless. How do I solve it, Dan?
Why don't you buy a Flophouse t-shirt? It has your face on it.
That sounds like a great idea. In case I forget who I am, I can look at the shirt. Can people who don't have my face also buy this shirt?
Look, I don't care anymore what happened to your original shirt. Anyone can buy this new t-shirt from the Flophouse. It's for $25. You should wear it. It feels really good on your skin.
And yeah. Where do I buy it from?
You can go to Estoy Merchandise.
EstoyMerchandise.com sounds like a good name, not like what you said, which sounds stupid. EstoyMerchandise.com, let me buy one. Doodly doodly do. A couple weeks later. Hey, this shirt feels great, and now I don't have the cold on my nipples anymore. Thanks, guys, for your great advice. The Flophouse t-shirt at EstoyMerchandise.com.
Can I have one too, Elliot?
You buy it yourself.
So, before we get to letters, I just want to
apologize.
Announce the winner of the
hot dog. We have a wiener.
He's the house cat.
Arthur's theme
contest.
Music video contest.
This was a music video contest to make a music video to accompany the song of the autumn, mm-hmm. which means that the song's time is over, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
He's the house cat, parentheses Arthur's theme, created by Stuart Wellington and nobody else.
Yeah. Stuart Wellington and Alex Smith.
The winner is
friend of the Flophouse.
Good friend of the Flophouse.
Mr. Dan, last name withheld.
Wait, Dan McCoy?
Of the animated version, if you've seen the videos, his was the weird like Ralph Bakshi-esque animated freakout.
Be more dismissive of
the
it.
One
yeah,
that gets,
Dan, he won a contest. He put a lot of work.
It's
into
not
it.
Dismissive. I'm just trying to
well,
be descriptive.
I'm
going
to say I'm going to give a round of applause to Dan for winning.
I guess around these parts, a Ralph Bakshi freakout is a pretty big
a compliment. Yeah,
yeah. I'm just saying it gets creepy at the end.
It does, but I was impressed with a number of the entries. There was a lot of great entries, and it was a really hard choice, which is why I'm glad we didn't have to choose. It was decided via vote. And I was impressed by the end when multiple people were credited for like animation help. And I was like, wow, a lot of like people put a lot of work into this.
Yeah,
it looks really professional.
As
good
as the person who said all the stuff that's in the song. Yeah. I was overwhelmed. Like, I was genuinely, I was almost embarrassed at how little I feel I contributed to what these people put together.
So
like,
I think
it's great stuff.
Everyone who submitted is a winner in the way that they created really exciting and impressive work. So yeah. Everyone should feel like a winner. But in a larger, more literal sense, there is one winner. And it's Dan.
If you hadn't had a chance to check them out, please check them out. They're on our website.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
I've already emailed the winner about
his winnings.
His winnings.
Which is, what did he win? What was the prize?
Flophouse T-shirt.
Ooh, in the size of his choice.
And he gets to pick the movie, right?
He gets to pick a movie that we will discuss.
No, he gets one size. In the future. Extra small, and he's got to put it on in front of a bunch of girls.
Yeah. And then he has to flex.
Joke's on you. He's Stuart Little-sized, and he is ripped. So that shirt fit perfectly.
But he Hulkamaniaed out of it, so we need another one.
Yeah.
All right.
So and he gets to choose the movie. So think of your movie choices. Get three possibilities together because Dan is a big stickler, and he's always
picked yet. The fact that I try to get multiple choices is more about the fact that sometimes there's a question of availability, sometimes there's a question of whether we've all seen something already.
So we won't be watching this movie for a little bit for reasons that we won't get
into.
And
if you're looking to influence him, please do not kidnap his wife and then make him drive around for a while to
because
pick your choice
of movie. Because it will be boring. It will be so boring.
But
and
now
it'll destroy Christmas.
Now we can finally get into everyone's favorite segment.
Yeah.
Letters from listeners.
Letters from listeners. Everyone's favorite segment is this. Letters from listeners. Don't boo or hiss. It's your favorite segment because you wrote the letters and we're going to read them. You should know what's in them already, so maybe we don't have to read them. We'll just answer them. Okay, here's one with questions. Number one, the answer is yes. Number two, the answer is blue. Number three, the answer is no. Number four, the answer is you. The answers are there for the questions you asked so that you know what the things are now.
Boy.
Letters from listeners, listeners for letters. Listen to letters, Dan, as Dan reads them out loud. Be in the crowd, out in the cloud. Dan reads the letters out loud.
I think that's enough.
The end.
Okay. So
well,
this is
a good long one, huh?
Yeah, it could have been longer.
Dear Daniel, Elliot, and Stuart.
Dear Daniel, Elliot, and Stuart.
No. Danielle?
Can you get my parents back together?
Daniel. Elliot and Stuart.
All I want for Christmas is a family.
No.
Will you be mine?
Damn
no,
it.
We have families
Let
of
me
our
read.
Own.
Is this written by a puppy?
I was.
Interesting. They changed to his native tongue after
he says
first paragraph.
I was transcribing the Flophouse.
Native tongue.
I was transcribing the Flophouse into a series of meticulously detailed marble notebooks that I store in my evidence dungeon. When I heard Elliot mention that a movie would have been much better if it had been called Catch That Kid, this jogged something deep within the recesses of my diseased mind. A quick IMDb search revealed that this typical bit of Flophouse bullshit was in fact an actual movie.
Yeah, there is a movie called Catch That Kid.
Released in 2004.
Copyright Elliot Kalin.
Yeah.
Catch That Kid starred Kristen Stewart, Jennifer Beals, and Max Thoreau. And is described as a family comedy crime caper about a girl and her two friends.
Isn't he the great-great-grandson of Henry David Thoreau?
I don't know. It's just
no,
spelled
I don't
differently.
Think so.
Who rob a bank to finance a cure for her dying father. How could this be, I wondered, aloud to the headless mannequins I had seated around my dining room table.
There's no kid to be caught.
Had the Flophouse inadvertently predicted
this kid
the
is right for the catching.
I never retrieved the answers I was seeking, however, because suddenly a team of FBI agents broke the door down and started shouting at me to put my hands where they could see them. And so here I sit.
It's Flophouse Buddy
investigating. Writing this in my cell in Erwin's Supermatch Prison, high above the Pacific Ocean.
Erwin's Supermatch Prison? Isn't she from The Hobbit or something? Lord of the Rings?
No, you're totally wrong.
Who's Erwin then?
Well,
I don't know. He just made this
hold
up.
Hold on. He says, that's
Dan
no.
probably mispronounced.
Hold on. He says.
Dan's so mad, yeah.
That's nowhere spelled backwards.
Oh.
And the same prison featured in the that's John Travolta, Nicolas Cage movie, Face Off.
Oh, right. With the electromagnetic boots and the Nature Channel shows.
One last question before
lights. And Joe Bob Briggs is in it.
One last question before lights out. Is Stuart really that devastatingly handsome in person? Love, Jeremy, last name withheld, a.k.a. the Butcher of Battle Creek.
Let me answer that one. No. He is a total two on Dan's scale. He's a Selena Gomez.
Yep.
No, Stuart
is... On a scale of hottie to naughty, I'm closer to naughty.
No. Stuart's a total hottie, or a TH.
A Don naughty. So, in order Battle of Creek, does that mean you're from Michigan? I am from near there.
In order of attractiveness, it goes Stuart, then Dan is a distant second. And then I am in an even distanter third. But I make up for it with my charisma and all my money bags.
Yeah.
Or wait, you are we talking about tallness?
Score of 18.
What?
Whoa, that's a +4 to his rolls.
Yeah.
And my rolls can be anything from a 22-year-old kid just out of college to an 85-year-old butler with a secret to tell. I can play them all. So casting directors, remember Elliot Kalin, charisma 18 for your rolls.
I hope that answers your question, whatever it was.
So Stuart's handsome.
Yeah.
He's got those crinkly things on his eyes when he smiles. He's like a regular Timothy Olyphant.
Gross feet.
They have to wear blinders when we record the show so they don't gaze upon me and then have to tear their eyeballs out.
It's so
beautiful. And then I melt. So this next letter is titled, Change a Movie. I came up with a thought experiment.
Can I change Getaway to something I liked?
I came up with a thought experiment. Suppose you went back in time as, let's say, a movie consultant for a movie that has already been made in the present. You have the power to change whatever you want about the movie except unmaking it in some way. It's a sort of a Sound of Thunder butterfly effect thing. What movie would you pick and what would you change? Amanda, last name withheld.
Are you looking at me? I think, I mean, this is just off the top of my head, so maybe there's a better one, but I would say Spider-Man 3. I loved Spider-Man 2. I liked the first Spider-Man a lot. I felt there was a really strong movie to be told about Spider-Man, Venom, and Peter Parker's becoming corrupted and losing sense of his responsibility, but they didn't make that movie. Instead, they made a Sandman-Venom mash-em-up in which there's a long sequence where James Franco makes an omelet, and it's only vaguely saved by the Tobey Maguire dance scene. I love the dance scene. But the spot where they're just making an omelet, I'm like, what is this, the fucking Big Chill? They're just hanging out in the kitchen?
Just like Spider-Man comics.
No. So I think off the top, I can think of a better one, but in terms of contemporary movies, I'd say Spider-Man 3.
I would probably say the one that is most obvious to me is Terminator Salvation, where I feel like they could have done something kind of interesting by focusing on the idea of like a Terminator that thinks he's a man in a post-apocalyptic future. And then they shoehorned. It felt like the John Connor, Christian Bale plot was very shoehorned in. And I felt they could have made an interesting little self-contained movie with the Sam Worthington stuff, which is weird that I would be pro Sam Worthington over Christian Bale.
Very surprised.
But I don't know. I think it could have been more interesting.
Or you know what? I'd make a Separation, but like as a wacky comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at the end, there's like a chase scene through a car wash. Anyway, Dan, you were going to say?
Yeah, we've been pretty genuine. You should throw in some jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, the Separation thing was... Wild Orchid, two shades of blue.
That was a joke?
Like, I feel like they could go three, four, even five shades of blue.
There you go. The classic Dan joke. If it's going to be about a softcore film that played on HBO late at night when he was a kid,
somebody it's slide Dan whistle McCoy. To do? Or...
Boop! Boing!
So...
I it's interesting that the first movie that comes to mind is like a big budget superhero action movie. I'm sure I could think of like a really worthwhile movie that I would made a somewhat of a change to. But the ones that I get really mad at are where they seem like eminently they could have been better is the eminently changeable is the superhero movies or the big budget movies.
It's because you and I have sat around daydreaming of our superhero fantasy projects.
Yeah, our Spider-Man Hobbit crossover film.
Man, I feel like.
What a porthole.
Also, I feel like probably...
If the X-Men could meet Star Trek, then this could happen too. Yep.
Probably it's less that you want to like second guess something and more that like, I don't know, like if I had these like magic movie powers, maybe I would want to see the Magnificent Ambersons as Orson Welles wanted it to be.
Well, that's the thing. Whatever. If it's something like that, then there are any number of projects that either were mangled, not...
Is that The Thief of Baghdad? What's that... That animated movie by the guy who did
the cobbler and the princess,
something like that, and the thief.
Yeah,
I was reading a book recently about a book from 1972 about Hollywood in the 60s, and it briefly mentioned the concept that would never got off the ground of a Custer movie made by Akira Kurosawa. And I was like, I've never heard of this before. If I have, I forgot about it. And it boggles me. He could make an amazing General Custer's Last Stand movie, Akira Kurosawa, and it never got made. And like, I would love to see something like that. Like, there's a number of movies that never got made that I wish I could use powers to get them made. Yeah. You know,
Terry Gilliam's Don Quixote. Your natural drive to push them forward.
Mm-hmm. A Day at the United Nations or whatever the Marx Brothers Billy Wilder project was.
Yeah, well, that probably wasn't going to be that good.
Yeah, I'd still like to see it.
I'd like to see it, sure.
So moving on to the next letter. I have one question that's been burrowing into my brain in the desperate hope
Some kind of brain worm.
Yep, like some kind of brain drain.
Yeah, some sort of Elmer. In the desperate hopes that you would return an answer, but alas, you have not. Did Stuart ever redeem his $1 IOU from Dan following the Devil Inside download fiasco? And if so, what did he spend the money on? I like to believe it went to support a Kickstarter campaign to finally give the Invisible Maniac the rich Criterion Edition Blu-ray release it so richly deserves.
I tried to, but it didn't meet its minimum funding goal.
Yours in floppitude.
And the minimum funding goal is like $57.
Blake, last name withheld.
Blake Lively. Well,
If I recall,
you're beautiful.
If I recall, Elliot bought that marker off of Stuart.
I think I did, yeah.
No, I thought I bought it off of Elliot.
Or maybe Stuart bought it off of me. No, I think Stuart bought it off of me.
Yeah.
Because he wanted power over you.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So I could hold it over Dan.
Literally, you held it over his head like mistletoe and then kissed him.
I think that there was a...
well, that's the power a dollar buys me is Dan kisses.
Yep.
We all know what you are, Dan. We're just negotiating over the price now.
I don't know what I did with that dollar. I could have done so many things. Spent it on luxuries, glamorous ladies.
I like to believe
delicious meals.
I like to believe you decided to be a good Samaritan, a philanthropist, and you dropped it in a homeless man's cup and said, collect on this.
And that homeless man looked at the brown bagged liquor bottle he was holding and poured it out on the street.
Because now he knew he had a future.
Yeah.
And now he's living on Dan's couch. Everything.
He saw a steward give him money.
I've seen everything.
Yep. That's it.
So what
see
happened?
See you later, Dan.
I think that I just paid Stuart a dollar.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so.
I'll buy that for a dollar. Continue to the next letter, Dan.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Is this the letter, or are you just saying hey?
Hey, guys.
We've been talking for like almost an hour.
I just started listening to the podcast.
Thanks for listening.
And it has rapidly become one of my favorite things in the entire world.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you very much.
However,
Roger
Ebert Memorial episode desperately needed a woman to defend the sexiness of Gary Oldman in The Scarlet Letter and pretty much every movie starring Gary Oldman in the 90s.
Even like Romeo was bleeding?
He
doesn't have long hair in that one.
Yeah.
I was but a naive teenager when I first saw The Professional. The movie that made me realize what movies could be. Gary Oldman deeply affected my soul, and when I discovered the nude scene in the Letter movie, my world was changed.
Then I saw him in The Fifth Element.
Utterly.
He was stunning, with his plastic on his head and everything.
Never again would I look fondly on the 15-year-old boys in my high school classes because I knew what a real man was. To this day, I'd watch anything he was in, including Tiptoes. Fucking Tiptoes. Love and thanks.
I want to see Tiptoes.
Jen, last name withheld.
Well, Jen, we were actually talking during the movie about the types of actors or actresses that we had crushes on, mainly actresses, when we were 14 or 15.
Yeah, I can't remember having, not that there
you didn't
a
have a crush on Gary Oldman, is what you're
not
saying.
Not on Gary Oldman, on Gary Youngman.
Wow, okay.
The baby version of Gary Oldman from Jim Henson's Gary Oldman Babies. Anyway, yeah, we were talking about the actresses we had crushes on when we were like adolescents. And Dan and I...
you guys had some similarities, a lot of crossover.
Yeah, well, I was
not
a big...
Not to be overly sexist.
I had a big Christina Ricci crush. Dan, you had a Winona Ryder crush.
Yeah.
I also had a thing from Winona Ryder.
You know, you're big-eyed, dark-haired
girls. Yeah.
Achievable girl next door types.
You know, the ones who had, like, true. Something kind of gothy about them.
Super hot.
Sure. You know?
Mixed up daddy issues, etc.
When I was that age and into my college years, I thought that, like, gothy, punky girls were the kind of girls that I was into. But it turns out I don't get along with them that well. I get along with, like, nice people.
Well, I mean, it's
not to make a blanket statement.
Not to make a blanket statement, since I'm still friends with plenty of punky girls. But
I feel like Gary Oldman deserves.
Dan, you had a big crush on what, like Gerard Depardieu?
Why are you saying Dan looking at me?
Sorry, I meant to say Stewart.
Yeah, I totally had a big crush on Gerard Depardieu. I'm like, could you make a man out of mashed potatoes that I could lick all the delicious potato juice
I wish
off?
He was my father, the hero.
Sure. Wait, but then, wait a minute. If I had a crush on him, why would I want him to be my dad?
I don't know what's going on in your fucked up mind. So, Stuart, who did you have a crush on?
That was the thing, is that I don't... Maybe I have difficulty putting myself back in the shoes of a 14-year-old Stuart. Maybe it's because those shoes would be really small right now. But I always remember having crushes on like older women, mainly chesty, topless women from movies.
So like B. Arthur.
Yeah, mainly B. Arthur's.
B. Arthur's? The
like
clone
your
army.
Chesty LaRue's, your...
Like,
your Busty Morgan's,
yeah.
Your Booby McShane's.
Mainly the woman who takes her dress down at the beginning of Repossessed, starring Leslie Nielsen.
Okay.
The Exorcist parody.
Well, I mean, I don't remember
Is that an actual crush?
I have watched that movie so many times.
Did you have an emotional connection to this woman?
Yes, I did.
I don't remember the name of the lead actress in...
I watched her from afar and up close when I get close to the TV screen.
I don't remember the name of the lead actress in Just One of the Guys. But she was also someone I had a crush
on.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
That was the first boobs I ever saw, Dan. Why are you looking at me weird?
No, I'm not. I understand. Everyone, I think every
she was my Chitara.
Of a certain age.
You're Chitara.
Chitara, the first woman I ever saw nude.
I would just like to say I appreciate this letter from a lady listener because when I get a real kick out of any letter that objectifies yeah. Any man in any way, because it makes me feel less gross as a man
because
myself.
You realize there aren't just pervazoids, there's pervazinas.
Yeah.
I thought it was pervazettes.
Oh, pervazettes could work too.
Pervazinas sound more Eastern European than I'm comfortable with.
Well, pervazinas are pervazettes that have seen a little bit too much.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you, pervazettes. Please, Pervon.
And brought to you by Percocet. the choice of pervazettes.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm not one of them.
The official fucking drug.
The official drug of Pervazettes.
Yeah. All right. Well, this last letter of the letter segment.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm all right. It's titled, I Have Based My Life on Your Teachings.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
And
so
it goes
seen
on.
Head of the Family a lot.
And I find myself.
Kill people with submarine sandwiches.
And I find myself, as they say in Britain, a young man without prospects.
Uh-oh.
But my question is, if the three of you could appear in any one of these three sequels,
okay.
Which would you choose?
Appear like we were actors or we're transported to the world? The
I don't
movies?
Know. You can choose however you...
Okay.
Number one, Head of the Family 2, Even More Head. Number two, Invisible Maniac 2, T-O-O. Number three, Castle Freak 2, The Freakening. That's from Sweet Pea Garfunkel.
I imagine Stuart being in Castle Freak 2 and forcing the Castle Freak at gunpoint to rip his ding dong off. Sure. It's going to happen in this movie.
Well, the thing also about Castle Freak is similar to a lot of actors. I would probably pick that movie because it's being shot in a castle in lovely Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, come on. Like, I get a free trip to Europe. Why not?
You get to work with Stuart Gordon.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. But I would imagine if it's a sequel, I'd probably be working with Brian Yuzna, which would still be amazing.
It would still be cool. Sure. Yeah. Dan, what about you?
I think I would choose Head of the Family 2 in the hopes that Jacqueline Lavelle would
reprise her role. Yeah,
return.
That makes sense.
I think I'd do Invisible Maniac 2.
And I'd like to find out what happened to Myron, how he got all through the house burning down and whatnot.
Because I love movies that have T-O-O in the title instead of the number 2.
Sure.
And also because finally I could achieve my dream of killing someone with a submarine sandwich.
Interesting. Would you be like the student of the Invisible Maniac? Like he whispers in your ear and tells you what to do?
I think
or?
It's going to be like Zapped 2, where I find his formula like hidden in a wall somewhere.
Okay.
And then I use it to do basically the same stuff
the
that they did in the first
same
movie.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, to wreak some extra Zapped on the universe.
Yep. Now, they never made Zapped 3 Oblivion, but, you know, I guess that was in the makings, and I think
Neil
Jordan
would,
was going
to
make it.
It's weird they would choose Oblivion, because Oblivion lends itself naturally to a fourth.
To a fourth. No, no.
Like Phantasm 4 Oblivion.
They were trying to break the rules of Oblivions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Actually,
it's like
it's
the movie Oblivion with Tom Cruise, which is the fourth movie.
With Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
It's called Zapped 3 The Search for Spock.
So this is the last segment of the show.
Oh, so sad. It's like the end of Saturday Night Live where they're all dancing with the music. And they're like, good night, everybody.
And they're hugging, and you're like, they probably have a lot of fun times together.
They're hugging with the credits, and it's like they're saying to you, we're having a fun party that you're not invited to.
You're sitting on your couch and wondering where your night went.
You could be hugging Bono right now.
You're 14 years old and Saturday night, and you don't have any friends. We have lots of friends. Look at this. I'm hugging the star of some TV show you don't watch.
You could have been hanging out with girls and doing all kinds of drugs.
Yeah, but nope. Instead, you're not at SNL.
But this segment is less cool than that.
It's we just, recommend stuff.
It's just a segment where we recommend movies.
Other things you
movies.
Can do with your Saturday nights, dudes.
What? This is a segment where we recommend
a
movie.
Watch Snick, I guess, right?
That you might like to watch, unlike Getaway.
I think Pinwheel's on at that point.
Yeah. Pinwheel After Dark.
Sure. Oh, no.
Is there a movie you would like to recommend, Stuart?
Yeah, I'm going to recommend a little-known movie to give it a little bit of support. It's called The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug.
It's me, Smaug.
The cat dragon.
Like the bad guy in the Smax comic?
Yeah, that's true. Also my go-to reference for a cat dragon. What if he fought the dog Luck Dragon from the Neverending Story?
Well, I think the dragon from Smax would win because it's like a giant nuclear bomb. Yeah.
He has like magic number powers. Yeah. Fractal and whatnot.
So I'm going to recommend the Hobbit, the latest Hobbit movie. It's tough because I love it. It falls into the Only God Forgives category for me because it's a movie that I love.
There's a lot of scenes of Ryan Gosling looking at stuff.
Exactly. And I have a very deep relationship with these movies, and I don't know if anyone else actually would enjoy it as much as me, but just there's moments in the movie that give me actual like joy laughter, which there's very few movies that come out nowadays that actually do that.
Yeah,
for
that
me.
Break through your hardened exterior.
I'll tell you something. I watched it with Stuart. I did not like Only God Forgives. I know both of you liked it. I apologize.
Yeah,
you didn't watch it with us in a theater full of film students.
Yeah.
And I also did not like the first Hobbit movie, despite loving all of the Lord of the Rings movies.
Which I still love.
But I really had a good time with Desolation of Smaug with Stu. So.
Yeah, I mean,
So you recommend seeing the movie with Stuart?
Yeah,
I recommend see it with me.
Hanging out with him.
I'll grab their arm. I'll tell you stories.
You totally grab my arm a lot of the time.
We'll get a fire going.
I'm going to recommend a movie that instead of Getaway, why don't you watch The Getaway, the Sam Peckinpah movie.
The first one.
Starring, Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you
starring
something.
Starring Yasmin Bleeth and Dustin Diamond.
I'll be totally honest with you. I don't remember a shitload about this movie. But I remember that I liked it. And I remember that it was a movie called The Getaway.
Wow.
That was good.
What's Steve McQueen's character's name?
Steve McQueen.
So what do they do in the movie?
They get away from something.
From something. So it could be anything. Could be a giant spider. Could be an epidemic. Like, could be a bad marriage.
I've seen a shit ton of movies in my time. I just remember that this was a good one. That's what I gotta say.
I feel bad that I remember scenes from the shitty The Getaway remake with Kim Basinger and
Mostly
Alec Baldwin.
The
better.
Fucking, like,
the nude scenes, I remember those way better. The James Wood scenes.
The nude scenes.
Yeah, the new James Wood scenes. It's like some kind of iguana is naked.
It's weird. I haven't seen any movies recently that I really liked a lot. And so to make up for that and to make up for Dan's basically just giving you the name of a movie and no other information, I think I'm going to recommend three movies. Hold on to your hats.
Three?
First, you know, this was a bad car chase movie. You know it was a good car chase movie? Ronin, directed by John Frankenheimer. Sure. It's a strange little movie in that the plot is deliberately opaque. It's a bunch of people who are supposed to steal a thing. You don't really find out what the thing is. You don't find out a lot about the people. But there's a certain stylish coolness to it. It's one of the last movies where Robert De Niro seemed to give a shit about what he was doing, and the car chases in it are fantastic.
I saw that movie in college with my college roommate, and when the first shot of Nice comes up on the screen, but before they actually have, you know, they give you where it takes place, they say Nice at the bottom of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember him in a very stoned drawl saying, "Nice." And then it came up on the screen. It was pretty amazing.
Well, but anyway, there's good car chases in that. I'm going to recommend another Sam Peckinpah movie that I may have recommended before, but I'm not sure if I did, called The Ballad of Cable Hogue, which is kind of a light comedy drama with Jason Robards as a drifter in the Old West who discovers a watering hole out in the desert and turns it into a little business. And it's surprisingly sweet for a Sam Peckinpah movie. There's a lot of wistfulness to it, and there's a fantastic scene where he sees the female lead. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. I apologize. The female lead's cleavage. She's a prostitute in town that he falls in love with, and then he's kind of like almost dazed by it. And they're saying goodbye, and flashes of the image of her cleavage are kind of not quick enough to be subliminal, but not long enough to be full shots, flashing on the screen as he sees her walk away. And it's such a brilliant capturing of what it's like when you catch a glimpse of a woman's cleavage briefly, like where it's just popping up in your mind a lot. Like, there's something very honest about that moment, but also funny, that I really like and didn't expect from a Sam Peckinpah movie.
And you said there was a great car chase in that movie?
There is not. A character does get run over by a car, but it's not a car chase. So Ronin is the car chase movie. The Ballad of Cable Hogue is the Sam Peckinpah movie. And then I'll recommend just a movie that's about as far away from Getaway as I can possibly get, which is the 1940 film version of Our Town with William Holden, which is Our Town, if you're not familiar. It's a fantastic play about kind of life, death, and the eternal qualities of human existence as shown in a very tiny turn-of-the-century American town. And it's very beautifully done, and they actually change the ending from the play a little bit, but in a way that works very well for the movie. And it's just a really good movie, and I think it's in the public domain, so you can buy probably a $3 video cassette of it. So, Our Town.
Yep. That's, and you can play it in your $40 video cassette player.
Go back in time and get a VCR.
Yeah, go to the general store.
So, Ronin, The Ballad of Cable Hogue, and Our Town. If you can't find a movie that you like in one of those three, then I don't know if we can be friends.
Or Dan or my recommendations.
Yeah, come on.
I'm just saying I ran the gamut, buddy.
In theaters now. Our Town.
No, yours. Yours is the only recommendation that's in theaters now.
Then get over there and watch that shit, dude. It's great.
It's got a fucking dragon in it, man.
The dragon fucks?
Yeah. In a way, it's hard for me to put into words. So it's been a great year, guys.
It has. This is our last episode of 2013. And let's just say, and what were you going to say, Stuart?
I was just going to thank everybody for listening.
Yeah, thank you. 2013, I feel like, is a year we exploded. In terms of listenership.
Ow!
Oh, God.
That's terrible.
No, but I was looking at our numbers of downloads, and from the beginning of the year to now, it's been a real big shoot up into the stratosphere. I want to thank all our listeners, and I want to thank the AV Club, Parade Magazine, Entertainment Weekly for all supporting us.
And most importantly, you want to thank us.
Yeah. Wait,
the other guys in the Flophouse.
No, I don't want to thank you guys.
Wait a minute.
No, thanks Stuart and Dan for putting this podcast together so I could jump on it and propel it to stardom.
Yep.
Yeah.
But thanks to the listeners for pushing us and really.
It was like
really
a car.
You're like fucking Urkel. Come on, you're the breakout character.
Yep. And I was, it's like.
You're like, you're fucking Urkel, the character from Family Splatters, the porno version of that show.
All right.
With Carl Winslow. Hot Carl Winslow.
Yeah.
You guys are grossing me out, so I think we need to shut it down.
So, Dan, do you want to thank the listeners for anything?
Sure. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening and supporting us. We got a lot of great boosters out there, and it's meant a lot to us.
Okay, so
2013's been a big year. 2014's going to be even bigger. Double size episodes, super size episodes, Flophouse in the Isles, Flophouse live tour. Those things will not happen, but we'll have some stuff.
Yeah, no, I very much appreciate the way that we've blown up, all based on fans. Like, I don't think that we've actually
What about all the money we spent to blow up?
Yeah, that's the thing. We have not.
We just bought a lot of.
We have not
all the TNT.
We have no publicists. We have not pushed ourselves out in the media. But I think the fans have really pushed us out there. And thank you all for listening. And I appreciate it. And I hope that 2014 is even better. So we should probably sign off.
Let's not get crazy. For the Flophouse, I've been Stuart Wellington.
I've been Dan McCoy.
And not forgetting my name, I'm Elliot Kalin. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
There's a new trend among young people, mic knocking. They find someone named Mike and they knock him over.
Sure. Just when you thought your microphones were safe, tune in at 10 to find out what might be happening with teens.
Where are your microphones?
Film at 11.
All right.
It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your microphone is?
Is it been knocked? Let me explain what that would be, though.
Knock, knock. Who's there? A microphone that's not standing up anymore. Hi, I'm Brent Dilby of Channel 19 Investigative News. And Dilby's got him. Tonight on Dilby's got him. Mic knocking. It's afflicting microphones across the nation.
So my microphone was pointed at my mouth for a minute, then Dan just knocked it aside.
We talked to Jethro.
Oh, wait, he just did it again.
We talked to Jethro Scoob of the local radio station. Now, Mr. Scoob, do you know who knocked your mic?
It was Dan. He was right there. He's looking at me right now.
All
right,
let's...
improv exercise.
Over.